Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Well, Nate, we got some live crowd feedback a couple days later, a few days after SmackDown. And we got some receipts issued from Seth Rollins and the announcers trying to figure out how to navigate everything going on. It was a fascinating night of live WWE television with not everything centered around Cody and Rock and Reigns, but because there's some other significant segments too that we'll get to. But of course, the focus has to be on all the developments and sort of reaction. And probably the A1 topic is just the crowd chants early in the show. Yeah. Very pro Cody, very anti Rock. Well, okay, I'll say this and I'll throw it to you. When I say very anti Rock, there was a Rocky sucks chant, and Cole acknowledged it and said, "What is it, 1996 again?" I will say the chant was not super loud. So unless they turned the volume down on the crowd, it was vocal. It was significant, but it wasn't like Roman Reigns being booed on Raw after Mania. It wasn't like so intense that WWE's like going, "Oh my God, what are we going to throw up into?" But I think it was enough to make The Rock sit back and go, "Oh God, everybody was right. I got some work to do." What's your take and framing on this?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of strange to hear Rocky sucks chants in 2024, but you know, what are you going to do? I'm a little torn because there is a part of me that kind of feels like Seth and Cody is going to be a better match anyway. There's obviously that big spotlight around The Rock and Roman, and there's part of me that wants to see that, but derailing the story is, I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily the right direction for them to go here. I'm willing to kind of give it a little bit of time to play out because I really liked Seth's promo from last week. There was a lot that he said in that I thought made sense. Although there was a lot in that promo where I also kind of felt like he was almost defining the World Heavyweight Championship down in a way, and it made the story feel a little lesser, I guess, than it could or probably should. But I think they did a decent job trying to navigate it tonight on commentary. They didn't just ignore it. That was kind of what I was expecting them to do, is ignore the fact that everybody has been very vocal on social media and things like that. Because that's kind of what they'll do, is they've kind of always ignored it in the past. But they acknowledged it tonight. They kind of made it part of the story. And I'm wondering how they play it out from here. Do they wind up pivoting and maybe changing some of their plans to try and accommodate for this backlash, or are they able to turn the fans with their storytelling? And that's going to be the real cool thing.
Yeah. And so it's so many fascinating things. So I want to talk about what Seth said about Roman and the pop comment. So we'll pin that for later. And kind of what you said about the case Seth made and Cody's reaction to that. I want to focus on the crowd reaction for The Rock. Internally, a secret ballot, a secret poll, I think would reveal that most people are upset that The Rock is taking Cody's spot for a story that's been, you know, building up for a couple of years. And certainly the majority of fans feel that way. Rock was, you know, ratioed, so to speak, on Twitter X. The Cody and Rock hashtags were like 15 to 1 or 30 to 1 or something like that in terms of retweets. So the sentiment, crowd reaction, our online poll, which was very anti-Rock and pro-Cody also, all indicate a lot of people are against him. Within WWE, though, it's also against Rock, as best I've been able to gather. And it's not like going out on a limb saying that. Cody's a full-time guy. People like him. And they see Rock as this outsider coming in and using his friendship with top executives at Endeavor to kind of weasel his way in and take a spot. In defense of The Rock, it's not like a guy who's not a megastar doing this, who's using his leverage. It's not like he's not going to bring more attention to WrestleMania than, frankly, mm-hmm. Cody would. And it's not like he's doing it in a mean-spirited way, maybe a little naive. Also, like, Roc Reigns is a story that's been building up for more than 2 years. And the Bloodline storyline, the Samoan family history, they've got a great story to tell. And there's part of me that is sympathetic for Dwayne The Rock Johnson here, because he's like, what about my story? I'm getting older. This is the perfect time to do it for me. It's a perfect time to do it for Roman at the stage that he's at. It'd be a shame if it never happened, or if it happened on a smaller stage. And Cody's going to be fine, even if it's going to hurt a little bit in the short run, or sting a little, you know, but he'll be fine. And maybe we can work together to figure out a way to make Cody a bigger star from this. And frankly, I don't think they have to work very hard. Taking something from Cody here has not made WWE the bad guys. And I think that gets into what you're talking about with commentary. I think there was a strategy here by having Cole and McAfee acknowledge it. I wouldn't say embrace it, but simply just freely acknowledge what was happening. Not look like there's any propaganda or cover-up, so that the heat is on Rock and not on WWE as a company. And as a result of that, it's going to be more positive for Cody than I think negative for Rock when all is said and done. Could be wrong. You can quote me on it, but please include that I could be wrong part. I think there's a chance that this creates even more sympathy for Cody, because the crowds are chanting for him. Cody's being professional, but he's clearly emotionally moved by the crowd response for him. He's clearly emotionally moved by this being taken away from him. It's a bonding experience right now for fans and Cody. I'm not saying Cody is at a point where he's happy this is happening, and I don't think he should be. But I do think the consolation to blunt the pain is the fact that the crowd is choosing Cody over Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which, I'm sorry, but 3 or 4 years ago, certainly 6, 7 years ago, would have sounded insane.
Yeah.
This is a babyface who's 100% popular with fans. I don't even think pro-Rock fans are anti-Cody. And Cody's just been this perfect babyface character for this era. He's hitting the right notes. We can sit here and go, oh, there was that one promo where maybe he said this or that didn't. Whatever. He's been so smooth and so perfect for today's WWE audience that I think this is actually amplifying his popularity. So I don't want to take away – I'm not trying to offset that fans should feel bad that Cody's not getting a spot at WrestleMania, because I feel bad he's not. But there's only – it's sort of like if you have two great quarterbacks on your team somehow. You know, your starting quarterback goes down, your backup comes in, does great for 6 games. And then they put the starter back in because he makes way more money. He's a bigger name. He's been in more playoff games. And you feel terrible for the backup quarterback, but he's going to get a great contract offer from another team next year or get to start for that team next year. You know, whatever. That's kind of how I feel about Cody. You have a great option on Rock. I don't think he did this with any animus towards Cody. And then you have, like, the whole situation is like a good problem to have. And the passion that is being expressed for Cody, frankly, I think people in WWE are happy about, because it's validating how popular Cody is. It's actually amplifying it. And I think they're confident that they can spend 2 months getting fans on Rock's side. And they know if not, they still go through it. They have a great WrestleMania. Rock goes away, and they just pick up the pieces, and Cody's going to be super popular still. He just doesn't have that sort of artistic perfect moment at this WrestleMania. And that will haunt Cody. But as CM Punk said last week, there's bigger problems than that, than that type of a setback. So that's kind of my thoughts coming out of this. Again, I'm on Team Cody. I would have voted internally for Cody to get this spot, despite the fact that Rock will raise awareness and probably do more viewers on Peacock. But I do think, not that fairness counts or whatever, but there is a level of fairness just to give Cody the spot and let Rock make SummerSlam the biggest SummerSlam ever. You know, if it doesn't fit his schedule, well, tough. You're not a full-time wrestler, defer to Cody. But I don't feel super, like, animus towards him. It's just that would have been my choice. But I get the counter-argument. So right now I just think WWE's sort of enjoying all the attention they're getting, to be honest. And since they're not super worried about Rock getting booed, because most sentiment, most of the voices and people you see on TV and people backstage are on pro-Cody, I just think they're fine with this happening because it's sort of showing up the Rock a little bit, maybe humbling him a bit. And I think some people think that might be helpful for him in moving forward between now and Mania, that he sees he's got some work to do. And Cody is that popular while Rock's been away. Nate, your reaction.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, I think they're probably kind of, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say pleased with the reaction, but at least happy that they're getting a reaction. A reaction is better than no reaction, right? So it's not the reaction they were necessarily expecting for The Rock, but or probably expecting The Rock, but that, you know, there's at least that passion there from the crowd. So I'm kind of really with you here because, like, you know, like you said, the story with the Samoan dynasty with the bloodline, that has been building for a long time. We've been talking about Rock and Roman for a very long time. And so there's still that story there to tell. I don't think Cody is really going to be super hurt by, you know, by all of this. I mean, say he goes to WrestleMania, he wins the title from Seth. I mean, boom, now there we go. He's got a world title under his belt. It's not the title he wanted, but, you know, you just kind of talked about you know, something CM Punk said last week. Another thing that he said last week was there's always next year. And so there could always be, you know, like you said, Cody's a little bit, he's got that chip on his shoulder that, you know, he won the title, but wasn't the title he wanted. And then we tell that story next year, which I thought that was going to be this year considering what happened last year, but, you know, here we are. So I'm kind of okay with everything that's going on. I understand the backlash, and like you, I think I probably would have preferred them to finish the story, but it's kind of an unfortunate timing thing. I mean, you know, the Rock's available and free now to be able to do this.
Yeah.
So I, you know, like you said, I don't think it's a bad problem for them to have.
I'm curious, and I don't know if we'll ever know, what Rock whispered to Cody. And again, I say this not even facetiously. He might have just told Cody a couple dad jokes, because Rock knows Cody. No, Cody likes dad jokes. And, like, you know, and just, you know, try to pretend he's saying something sweet and impertinent, and instead he's just trying to crack him up, which Cody may or may not have been in the mood for. But it's more likely he said something to try to be the big brother or the uncle or the dad figure for Cody, probably not a father figure, but saying, you know, hey, I feel terrible about this. I absolutely feel for you. This sucks. There's just, you know, whatever. I mean, he might have had his way to say, I'll do whatever I can to make this up for you. You're going to be fine. I know this stinks. It's not what I wanted, but let's make the best of it. And you're amazing. Whatever. You know, he probably was gracious. And whether that's enough for Cody or not, sort of depends on the backstage machinations in terms of what we're seeing off camera and how Cody feels about the way that this occurred. Because, and I haven't done a lot of reporting on this yet, and I will in more detail as it comes, but the way that top people in ownership knew this was going to be the case, but sort of held off on breaking the news and all, it's just, I think there's a sour taste in some people's mouth about how this played out. And so some of that can be, you know, fixed, I think, through some time. But anyway, fascinating situation. Well, let's pause. We can talk for nonstop here longer, but let's pause. Sure. Let's introduce ourselves and the show. Give out the phone number and the email. I want to get to calls before we leave people on hold too long. We got a bunch of emails too, and you and I will, you know, obviously sprinkle in more because I'm sure you've got more to say on this. And we still got Drew's great performance. We've got Gunther's great performance with Jay, and more to talk about. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Monday, February 5th, 2024. I'm Wade Keller, host of the show, the editor, publisher, and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter, the website pwtorch.com, and host of various podcasts, including the Wade Keller Podcast and Post Shows. Our blue logo show and our red logo show, both free. Search Wade Keller on your podcast app. Subscribe to both. And while you're at it, search PW Torch to subscribe to our PW Torch Daily Cast, a different show every day of the week with different hosts, different focus themes, including PWT Talks NXT and Wrestling Night in America, which the other voice you hear on tonight's show are part of, Nate Lindberg. Nate, welcome to the co-host chair.
Yes, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Nate Lindberg, as Wade said, I'm a part of PWT Talks NXT, so we go live on Tuesdays shortly after NXT goes off the air to talk about NXT. I recorded last night a VIP roundtable after NXT Vengeance Day with Kevin Catani, so check that out if you're VIP, and if you're not, go VIP. And yeah, I was also I filled in for Greg Parks in Wrestling Night America post Royal Rumble. We had a great show that night, myself and Brandon LeClaire. We even had a run in from Johnny Fairplay to give his ring. I think he said he was second row. Give a little bit of a perspective from there. We also had Greg call in. Greg was live at the Rumble, so he gave his perspective as well. So had a great time.
Yeah, yeah. Check that out if you haven't yet. It's still fascinating, even though it seems like a lot has happened between then and now already. But yeah, search PW Torch, subscribe. While you're at it, there's a kind of a charcoal colored PW Torch logo. That's our VIP free sample page, so you can get some free versions of our VIP exclusive shows. You can also, if you're using the Apple native podcast app, which syncs with CarPlay, you can actually get the unlock all the VIP podcasts, including these free shows with ads and plugs removed. And then all the shows that are only for VIP members throughout the week, including, by the way, fascinating 18 years ago flashbacks from our early podcasts. And today we're putting up the Bruce Mitchell audio show from 18 years ago, where Bruce and I talked about Vince McMahon's tanning salon incident, which couldn't be better timing. And also Sting debuting in TNA and the impact he was having as they were moving to primetime on Spike TV, in a discussion of whether it was a good move to bring Sting in or not for the identity of the company. And was he too old? Little did we know. So it's kind of fun to go in the time machine on these too. You can unlock that within the Apple Podcast app using your Apple account, and you just unlock all the VIP shows, and they're right there for you. Many other ways to get VIP shows. All details on all the different ways can be read at pwtorch.com/govip. You're missing a lot if you're not a VIP member. This is an amazing time, and I think the whole team's doing amazing work. I did a long bonus episode of Everything with Rich and Wade, a VIP show on Saturday. Todd Martin and I spent several hours talking current events and answering mailbag questions, including catching up on Todd's experience at the Rumble and this Cody situation with The Rock, the Vince McMahon situation, and more. So if you're not VIP, if you believe in what we do and like our approach to covering wrestling, the integrity with which we present it, the non-bombast clickbait approach that we are proud of, and you want to support our brand of wrestling coverage, being a VIP member really helps us and helps everybody part of it. Go VIP, pwtorch.com/govip. You'll hear callers regularly tout it when they call up who are VIP members. So check it out. If it fits your budget and you think you'll get something out of it, I certainly recommend you try it. All right, you can join tonight's show. The number to call if you want to be on the show is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, if you want to be on the show, push 1 on your keypad, and that will flag you on the switchboard so we know you want to be on the show. If you just want to call and listen, you can do that also. Just don't push 1 in that case, and then we can you can listen that way, or you can also stream it on the internet. You can also participate in the show by emailing us at wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. And give your feedback, ask your questions, and suggest topics. And you don't need to listen live to participate in the show that way. All right. I think that's the business we need to take care of. So I say we get to some phone calls. And we will begin with, I believe, an Australian number. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Wade. Hi, mate. This is Alistair calling from Melbourne, Australia.
Alistair, you said?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for calling, Alistair. What's your mind about Rod tonight? Good to hear from Australia.
Yeah, thank you. Good to call in. Look, a lot of interesting stuff all over the show tonight. The way they framed a lot of the stuff with Cody, I thought was really interesting. What I do want to talk about mostly, though, is the press conference that they're hyping for Thursday in the States. They pushed that on TV tonight as much as anything I can recall in a long time. It was all over the show. It felt like they were throwing to that going into and coming out of nearly every commercial break tonight. So I think they clearly want people to think that there is an angle coming on Thursday, and there's two possibilities in my mind for that. The first is that there is an angle coming, and they're going to drag out Cody's choice or his involvement in this Reigns-Rock-Cody triangle for a bit longer. They've already advertised him, I think, for SmackDown this week. I think I saw that already, that it announced him. So I'm not sure how that fits together with his previous statement that he's not coming for Owens at Mania, but perhaps they're going to shoot some sort of an angle on Thursday and keep this going. The second option is that they want you to think there's an angle coming, but there is no angle coming. Rock v. Reigns is made official. Cody Vitesse is made official. There's some trash talk, a stare down, etc. But this is all just a bit of a distraction to avoid a repeat of the Rumble press conference. Obviously, there's many press conferences, a big deal. And they don't want people talking about Janelle Grant or Vince and having a repeat with what happened with Paul after the Rumble press conference.
Yep, you broke up a little bit there, but I think you did complete your thought. It is absolutely true. They hyped the heck out of that, Alistair. It was hard if you're tuning in and out to miss that there's this press conference. I think they want to do big numbers on Peacock that they can brag about. I think they want a big crowd there. Matt could be kept interjecting. It's free to the public. I think they do want the visual of WWE not being WWE fans not being fazed by the Vince McMahon situation. I think that's part of the motivation. I think they also just want big numbers. They want a big crowd. They want big viewership. And remember, it's Super Bowl weekend, and I think they just want a ton of media paying attention to WrestleMania also and all the hype. I mean, Rock is going to bring more awareness. Having a gigantic crowd there, doing big numbers on Peacock, having huge social media numbers, that all helps validate the Rock being added if you're on Team Rock in Endeavor, who pushed for it and basically insisted on it. So I think a lot is at play. Nate, talk about the hype for the press conference. And I will say before authority, I think it's going to be straightforward. I mean, I think we're going to get Rock and Reigns. I mean, I don't think they're going to do any switch up. I don't think there's really much that can happen that they don't think that they can fix or absorb or, you know, turn into a positive. Or, yeah, I think they're pretty committed right now, barring an injury of some kind, to Cody, Seth. Maybe Drew, maybe not gets added, and Rock and Reigns. Nate, I'll throw to you for your thoughts on all that.
Yeah, sure. So I thought it was kind of interesting that they were talking about and hyping up this press conference like, you know, almost like it was an event. I thought even at one point they said they were selling like VIP packages to meet people afterwards and things like that. It seemed like it was something that they were putting a lot of emphasis on tonight. Immediately, you know, my thoughts went to some sort of an angle going down there, and that's kind of one of the reasons that they were kind of pushing it. I think a lot of what Wade just kind of outlined as well makes a lot of sense. Not necessarily what I was thinking, but I think it does make a lot of sense. I still think, you know, Rock and Roman is the direction they're going to be going and the way they're going to be going. I don't think they're going to really pivot and, you know, make, you know, throw Cody in as a triple threat or something like that. But if there is an angle that does go down at the press conference, it's probably going to be something between The Rock and Roman, whether I can't see them having some sort of like a physical altercation, I don't know, maybe Solo attacked The Rock or something like that. That was immediately what I thought, you know, where they were hyping it as much as they were. It just didn't seem like it would be, you know, a typical press conference. But I think potentially some damage control from the Royal Rumble or the Royal Rumble press conference rather is probably part of it as well.
I'm siding on the idea of this is not that hyping it does not mean they're going to do anything super newsworthy. I just don't think that's necessary. I think the hyping is to get a crowd, social media buzz, big audience on Peacock, and offset the notion that Vince McMahon has made WWE fans embarrassed to show up and support the brand and validate The Rock. I don't think we're going to see any big twist. I think it's going to be very straightforward. I think the suspense is to create conversation to go, wait, they haven't formalized it yet. Maybe it won't happen. It's not a foregone conclusion, but I think that's a strategy, not a sign of them hedging. And I'm quite confident with that. Doesn't mean I 100% know, but I'm quite confident in that. Alistair, I'll throw back to you for a follow-up on that or anything else you want to bring up.
Yeah, no, I come down where you have, Wade. I think they want to make people think there's an angle happening. I think that's a strategy, like you said, to control some of the discussion and the expectation coming into this. I think it's a bit of close-up magic, hand-waving, going, look over here, look at this angle, or think there's an angle, look at Rock, look at Reigns, look at Cody. Please don't ask about all these other terrible things that are in the news about us at the moment. You know, like you said, there's going to be a lot of media around. It's a huge weekend with the Super Bowl. I think it's a bit risky saying everyone come and put eyes on us and hope that they don't get asked about, you know, this other stuff again. But it's certainly going to be interesting. But yeah, I agree. I do think it's a bit of a strategy and a distraction.
And I think fans are going to, I mean, I don't think fans are hung up on Vince McMahon. He left the company a day after the lawsuit dropped. Most fans are not going to get in the weeds on, well, what happened to that internal investigation and why wasn't Triple H more prepared at the Rumble press conference to answer questions like he should have been and all that. I mean, I hate to say this, but it's sort of a good time of year for this to happen. Even if The Rock being answering says nothing to do with Vince McMahon's story. I know it's a logical dot to connect to another dot, but I mean, this was decided basically late December. People started figuring out when Rock dropped that line on Raw at the beginning of the year. And then it took a while for it to become official internally in WWE, or I should say widely known, you know, and for whatever reason, and that's stuff that I'll get more into reporting this week. But it's a good time of year because now they can just focus on WrestleMania, and I think most fans will be. I mean, when it gets down to it, if Vince isn't with the company, I think fans are thinking, okay, government's investigating. Hopefully WWE is going to make some corrections on how they conduct themselves behind the scenes. And I think they want to hold them accountable. And I don't think WWE's got two strikes with a lot of fans. And some would argue they should be at three. Some are, you know, but whatever. It's new ownership. Vince left. And I'm not defending this. I'm not saying that WWE shouldn't be held accountable for their internal investigation and Triple H not being prepared and all of that. I just don't think fans showing up are going to be making a big deal out of that or be preoccupied with it, I guess I should say. The media should ask about it, and the wrestlers should be ready to go. And hopefully they are, and they've got a few more days to figure that out. Nate, anything you want to add to that?
No, not really. I mean, it's I think we've kind of talked enough about it, but not too much to add.
Yeah. Alistair, back to you.
Yeah, no, that was all I really had about the press conference.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll say, and then I'll get off the line, was just, I mean, you were talking about some sympathy you had for The Rock in your opening statements and the positioning that
yeah.
he's come in and maybe some miscalculation on the backlash that we're going to get. I don't have a ton of sympathy for The Rock. You know, if they wanted to tell The Rock and the Roman story, that'd be an amazing story. You know, people have been after that match for years. If that's the story they wanted to tell, they should have told that story. You know, bring him in, have him work, come out at number 30 in the Rumble, have him work 6 minutes, win the Rumble, come after The Rock, come after Roman, and away you go. Then there's no backlash. You know, why do you have
yeah.
Cody win and you need this weird pivot, and it just hurts everyone. It's such an own goal. You know, it's unavoidable. It's unnecessary. It's the whole thing is a bit of a miscalculation. It's very strange. You know, there's people that have been in that company a long time that should know better about how to tell the stories than this. It's really interesting.
Alistair, do you think they were worried? Because I do. If Rock came in and won the Rumble, Rock not only took away Cody's main event at WrestleMania, but he took away his two wins in a row at the Rumble. And then Cody has to go win an elimination chamber in order to get a title shot. Well, actually, that doesn't even count because CM Punk is going to get the match against Seth, and Cody is going to do something else instead. So it might have there might have been a backlash, and they might have feared a backlash if Rock came in and took away from Cody the Rumble win and the WrestleMania main event. So at least Cody got a Rumble win. But it is more awkward to have Cody give up something he earned to The Rock. If Punk didn't get injured, then Cody would be out of a title match. And I don't know what story they were going to tell as far as that goes. But I wonder if that wasn't their thinking. You know, let's not do a double whammy and have Rock win the Rumble. We saw what happened with Batista and Daniel Bryan. Let's avoid that. Let's do it a different way and have you know. So anyway, that's my thought. Alistair, what do you think about that counterpoint?
I mean, would there be some disappointment amongst online fans that are paying attention? Probably. But what would have been, in a storyline sense, what gets taken away? Cody fights, he's in the Rumble, he gets thrown out last, second last. You know, maybe you don't have it him and Rock at the end. You know, that's maybe dangerous, but you can have him in the final four. Drew throws him out. Rock wins, Rock's earned it. You know, nothing on screen has been taken away from Cody then. You don't have this moment of him triumphant on the turnbuckle, pointing at the Mania sign, pointing, screaming at Roman, going, I'm coming for you. And then, you know, less than a week later, he comes down on SmackDown and cedes his shot to The Rock. We're yet to understand. I mean, obviously we know why backstage, but in terms of an on-screen character sense, why would Cody do that?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. You know,
it was limpy,
you and...
Yeah.
Yeah. And Todd had a really good discussion about that earlier in the week. It's just strange. So is there a bit of disappointment the night of the Rumble that Cody didn't win? Yeah, but then I think people pivot and go, oh, we're going to get this head of the table clash. You know, it's Philadelphia. It was like 10 years ago where they were in Philly and they had Rock raising Roman's hand after that Rumble. there's a lot of history and intrigue and stuff in that. I think people get on board pretty quickly. I think this is a lot more complicated, and I think everyone comes out looking worse off. You know, I don't know where you go with Cody. Then do you still go to him versus Seth? He wins his way through the chamber. You know, do you find a different special attraction match for Cody? I don't know what that would be. You know, is Okada coming in? Is there some link between, you know, his feud with Shinsuke that they kind of
reignited
a little bit tonight that helps them pivot towards something like that? You know, I don't know. I haven't heard anything that that's the case.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think maybe you find another special attraction match for Cody that isn't for Seth's belt. I don't know if he set up a personal thing between him and Drew. You could have Sammy go after the world title. I'm not sure. There's a lot of different ways you could go. But, you know, I think The Rock coming back, the timing is certainly a bit awkward. Punk going down with injury is awkward. You know, they've had to pivot and probably make some changes from what they expected in December. But I think the choices that they have made are they've put themselves in a worse spot than they had to.
Yeah, I appreciate the comments, Alistair. Good counterpoint to my attempt to play devil's advocate a bit there in terms of what their motivation and how that might have backfired too. So I appreciate it very much. Call again.
No worries.
Let's go to Jason in St. Louis next. Jason, welcome. How was Raw? Oh, Jason just dropped off. All right, call us back, Jason. We will, in the meantime, go to Ian in – or did I? Hopefully I didn't accidentally. I don't think I accidentally deleted something. But we'll go to Ian in Tennessee next. Ian, thanks for calling. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, guys. So I was actually at the Road to WrestleMania on Saturday, and they put up the WrestleMania press conference, and they were booing so loudly. They were chanting Cody. They actually were chanting F Rock. So it's not looking good for WWE so far.
Yeah. Was it... Everybody? Was it 80%? Was it allowed 60% or 30%? Like, how do you characterize?
Probably, yeah. It was probably 80-85%. Booing the graphic of Rock. They were even showing what happened on SmackDown. They were booing that. I was actually also at NXT last night, and when Ava came out for her backstage promo, they were booing her. So it's getting pretty heavy.
Leave Ava alone. I mean, she didn't need to be at the Rumble. It certainly comes across as nepotism, but that's taking things too far.
It got taken a little too far because I got notified that she was receiving death threats about what happened.
I saw that.
I saw that too. And that's the thing. I mean, is it a miscalculation? Yes. Might she be benefiting from nepotism? Yes. Was it bad judgment on WWE and The Rock's part and her part to even say yes to this? Not even just forecasting the pushback on Rock. It's just her getting pushed during the Rumble and being presented. I mean, it's just, it was a miscalculation. But there's, let's keep things in perspective and take your, it's pro wrestling, it's show business. Take your frustrations out on The Rock through verbal chants at arenas and social media posts, and stay focused on that, obviously. I think I speak for all sane, decent people when I say that. That said, I do wonder, we talk about the press conference. Ian, you're adding this great perspective to on the Knoxville crowd. We heard it tonight. I mean, is what happens to Dwayne The Rock Johnson if he's sitting there at the press conference and it's 30 minutes of Rocky Sucks and F U Rock live on Peacock in front of media? I mean, this is the thing, like, if I'm on Team Rock back in December and January, I'm telling Rock, I don't think you understand what's going on with Cody here, and you have to understand this could backfire, and, like, I don't know if you want to do this. And, I mean, there might have been some angst, there might have been some trepidation about it, but they decided to go with it, and, yeah, now they're paying a price. And it's not undeserved as long as, again, it stays within reason of a casting decision was made or a you know, booking decision was made that I disagree with. I'm going to express it social media, on a podcast like this, calling in or chanting. But let's leave it at that and keep things in perspective, folks. Cody's going to be fine. If it gets really bad, I could even imagine Cody gaining some motivation, because I think Cody's a good guy, to try to actually work a little harder to take the heat off of Rock if the intensity gets even worse, which, by the way, might not be what anti-Rock pro-Cody fans want, is Cody getting on Team Rock even harder. So it could actually, if fans who are pro-Cody take it too far, in a weird way, it could actually lead to Cody having to push even harder to seem like he's okay with it, as opposed to what we've seen so far, which is sort of enjoying the pushback and not saying a lot and maybe glaring at Rock in a plausibly deniable way, but giving a little bit of a death stare on SmackDown. Yeah, go ahead, Ian. I'll throw it back to you, wherever you want to go with it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Do you think WWE, you know, they're seeing all the negativity, you know, people were, you know, like, attacking Ava on Twitter or on X, and, you know, people are seeing posts about fans were, you know, not wanting to get the new Rock merch. They were, you know, going on WWE shop, you know, saying, oh, I bought this and got a Black Adam movie or anything like that. Do you think WWE looks at it and takes a back pedal and makes it Rock, or makes it Roman Cody with The Rock as, like, special guest referee, and takes Rock out of the match to displease the fans?
I don't think so. I don't think they will seriously consider it based on what we've seen so far. I think there's a chance that can change on Thursday. This is one of the things where if the pushback grows and it's sustained, and they don't just weather a storm, but it just, the storm cloud stops and it just pours and pours and pours and every crowd is doing it. This isn't Vince McMahon, who was stubborn with John Cena being booed and stubborn with Roman Reigns being booed when they were being pushed and framed as top babyfaces. This is Rock's reputation, and it can get embarrassing. But I think they can navigate it, that it'll calm down a little bit, and that they have a plan in mind. But I'm not ruling out this isn't a little bit more than they were, maybe quite a bit more than they were expecting. I think The Rock is, you know, living in this stratosphere that top megastars live in, where you're surrounded by yes men and people who admire you and want to glom onto your influence and power and stardom, and you can lose a little bit of touch. It's difficult to keep your feet on the ground. And if he's not watching the product and absorbed in it, and if the top Endeavor executives aren't, and they just think Rock is the be-all, end-all, and of course wrestling fans are going to prefer him because Rock's such a big deal and was so popular, yeah, I mean, they might be surprised by this. My gut's telling me they're really committed to Rock Reigns for the reasons that they went with it in the first place. But, man, Nate, if they think Reigns is going to get cheered wildly at WrestleMania and Rock is going to be booed wildly at WrestleMania, even with the mainstream fans, because WrestleMania draws, you know, a lot of people traveling, a lot of international audience. We know the Raptor Mania certainly is the hardcore fans who stay for, you know, not don't just go to two nights of Mania, but stay over on Monday also. The Raw after Mania will be wild, but WrestleMania itself, maybe the crowd's big enough, there's enough mainstream fans, maybe there's a story they can tell, get Cody to try to endorse it. But, you know, Cody, it's like, you know, like people who are on like Bernie Sanders' side, it's like Bernie can endorse whoever beats him, but we're still on team Bernie and we're not going to vote for the other guy. You know, that kind of thing can happen. And so, you know, people might go, yeah, Cody, you're endorsing The Rock, but we know you're being forced to do it. We're not going to buy in. But I really don't think they're going to change their mind. But it's early. We're on, you know, we're still technically just on the same long weekend since this all started. And I don't think we have enough of a read on it to say for sure either way. Thursday could tip things a little bit more, in my opinion, towards they start thinking twice. But Thursday they're going to make it official. So I just don't know, once you make it official, how you get out of it. And so, yeah, I can't talk myself into giving a lot of consideration to them changing their mind. I got to be honest, Ian. Nate, how about you?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, they've gone full bore at this point. I mean, you know, even with this press conference that they're you know, been promoting tonight. I mean, you know, in the center of the graphic was Rock and Roman. They were talking about Rock and Roman, you know, face to face at the press conference. I don't see them backtracking at this point, you know, kind of a la Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania 30. Certainly they may wind up taking a second look and maybe making a change or something. Like I said, when I say a change, I don't necessarily mean a change to the match or, you know, but maybe a change to the story they're telling or whatnot. But quite, to be completely honest with you, I have enough faith in The Rock's ability on the mic to turn the crowd.
Yeah.
I really don't think that in 3 or 4 weeks from now, this is going to be as big of an issue as it is right now. You know, we still may be a little bit bitter about Cody or whatever, but I think Cody and Seth, that story is going to be, I think they're going to tell a good story. They're going to have to tell a good story there. But yeah, you know, with The Rock's ability on the mic and his ability to just kind of take an audience in the palm of his hand, I think it's going to be okay long-term. I don't think it's going to be as big of a disaster as a lot of people are kind of thinking right now.
Yeah. Ian, anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah. Wade, you briefly mentioned the Drew McIntyre on tonight. I think Drew McIntyre was absolutely wonderful these past 2 weeks. I love the whole the Punk shirt. I love that he's like fully diving into that. Where do you think he fits into WrestleMania? Because I keep, you know, he mentioned, you know, facing Seth at Mania. I highly doubt they go that way, but where do you think he fits into Mania?
I don't know. I just, yeah, I mean, the Punk injury really, you know, changed a lot of things. They're giving him too much TV time and he's too good right now to not imagine he's going to have a prominent role at WrestleMania. But looking at the babyface side of things, I don't know who's worthy. And so, I mean, I don't think they want to, I don't know that putting Cody and Seth against each other with Drew as the heel is something to rule out, but I don't know how they get there. I don't know. Nate, how about you? I mean, I thought about it, and I'm trying to, you know, this weekend, and I you can't imagine Drew not having a big spot, and maybe I'm just not thinking through something, but even if Okada shows up, it's like, I mean, you could, I don't know that you can tell a good story quick enough with that. Okada's a babyface, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a direction that they could go. I mean, he'd have to show up maybe, you know, sooner rather than later for them to get a decent story in there. But yeah, I honestly can't think of really where they would go. You know, potentially, like, something I thought of was Gunther, but that doesn't really make sense, especially with, you know, what he's doing right now. Something maybe with Shinsuke, considering he was in the match tonight, maybe he can there's a story that can be told there somehow. But even then, I feel like I'm grasping at straws. It's it feels like there's, just doesn't really feel like there's a natural opponent right now for Drew, and it it is a shame because I feel like he's on fire. I've wanted to see Drew turn heel for a while now.
Yeah.
I've said it on this show and others that, like, you know, I like Drew McIntyre, but I really, really, really like him as a heel. And I think he's doing some absolutely great work right now. So I would love to see him in a prominent role, but yeah, I don't know who that is right now.
I mean, they did the sit down with Sammy tonight and really, you know, brought us back to where he was a year ago. And, you know, he talks about, he wants to show that the fans backing him. Can they warm up Sammy enough or that feels WrestleMania worthy? I don't know that Jay losing to Gunther is the way to go. If Jay wrestles Gunther before Mania, then to have Jay as sort of, you know, go after Drew. So does Sammy work?
That works for me, but yeah. I'm always down for Sami Zayn match. So
yeah. Yeah. And back to you, what do you think of Sammy as an option?
I mean, I think Sammy's a safe option, but it literally just came to my mind an out of left field option I think could be a Sheamus and have like a number one contenders match. I haven't seen Sheamus since he left Riffle Edge on SmackDown, so he's a possible option.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans would be like, been there, done that, too much. But I mean, when you look at the, it's not ripping on your option. It might be the top three option, you know, when we look at it. I just don't love it because it does feel a bit like we've been there too often. But, I mean, you know, Cody, Seth have wrestled. They're going to make that fresh or, you know, certainly do their best. So, yeah. All right. Ian, any closing words?
Raw has really been can't miss. I mean, every WWE show has been can't miss. Nate, I love Vengeance Day. I'm really intrigued tomorrow to see what they do with Trick and Carmelo, but I'll let you guys get
to the callers. Cool. Thanks. I appreciate it. Nate, talk about that.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going on tomorrow with Trick and Mello after what happened at Vengeance Day. For anybody that maybe did not see the show or anything, you know, Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes, they've been attached at the hip for God, since the beginning of NXT 2.0, which hasn't been a thing for a while at this point. And, you know, we saw Mello finally turn on Trick last night. After first they lost in the Dusty Classic to Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. And then after Trick lost his second match of the night to Ilya Dragunov for the NXT title, Carmelo, like we were talking about getting FU Rocky chants. We were getting FU Mello chants going throughout the arena last night. It was a gut wrenching moment. Like, you knew it was coming. We've been on PWT Talks NXT. We've been talking about Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes at Stand and Deliver for months now. So we knew this was coming. But it's still like it. I think they did a really good job at with turn. The only thing that I did not necessarily like about the turn is Carmelo, as he was as the show was closing, he was walking up the ramp. He was blaming the crowd, blaming the audience for his turn, which I felt was a little bit of a cop out. But I'm willing to give it a pass right now to see what they say tomorrow night. But after the show tomorrow night, come hang out with us on PWT Talks NXT and. We can dive into it a bit more.
The link to that is always at the top and bottom of the, or at least the top of the TV report at pwtorch.com. So if you're wondering how to listen live to the NXT post show, just go to pwtorch.com and click on the link at the top for the live stream. All right, Ian, great talking to you. Great call. We got some great emails we're going to get to too. And just so many different opinions on this and so many different questions and angles to discuss. Looks like our Jason St. Louis might be having phone issues because he called up again and dropped off. So we will go to Jimmy in New Jersey next. Jimmy, thanks for calling. Kevin in Colorado is up next, by the way. Jimmy, what's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, Wade, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. So, yeah, I feel like all your calls are going to hate me, but I do not get this outrage. I've been almost borderline shocked. I feel as though I understand what I can agree with is that the way they got to the Rock Roman match was perplexing, booking wise. But logically speaking, they've been planting these seeds when Cody Rhodes was in AEW. When Cody Rhodes was in AEW, no one was saying, "Oh, I hope he comes home." Oh, no one was clamoring for that. And I'm not discrediting him. To be honest, I gave AEW a chance for about the first year and a half, I'd say. I really did. And I actually liked most of the segments involving him. I thought him and Dustin was great. I liked him when he came back. I bought his merch, all those things. But the guy got the red carpet rolled out for him. He has his own tour bus. Merch galore. The whole finish the story thing was great. He even talked about it in interviews before, months ago, not joking about it, because obviously I know that he means it in his heart, of course. But he kind of, in a way, alluded to the fact that the fans took it a lot more serious than what he kind of meant. It was never meant to happen at WrestleMania. He never stated that. So that's A. And B, yes, he wants the title that Roman holds, but there was no existing beef with him and Roman. And if we want to go back to last year, Paul Heyman, the masterclass that he is on the mic, he's the one that made the match made sense, because he started, you know, they had that emotional promo. Without Paul Heyman, that match would have been just another match where Roman has his cronies cheat to win and we move on. Because if that's the case, why didn't Jey Uso finish the story of beating Roman? That was the whole thing, and people don't care anymore. Sammy, the crowd still loves him, but that was the whole movement. LA Knight, remember him? I don't even think he'll make Mania, but no one cares anymore. I hate to quote this because I feel like fans do it, but Daniel Bryan made a promo that the fans are fickle, and I really feel like this is an example of that. I've been a wrestling fan since in my early 30s. I started when I was like 9 or 10, and that was like right around the time when Rock was like beginning to enter Hollywood. Goldberg came back. This is a WrestleMania marquee match. I absolutely agree that the way they went about it was odd. The other caller who said Roman Rock should have won the Rumble, I think that would have been worse, completely worse. And I don't know, I respect you most out of all the, whatever you want to call it, you are journalists, but insiders and all those, your opinion is great. I just feel as though, are we really going to boo The Rock, who is one of the most like iconic superstars ever, a match that they've been teasing on Young Rock, on the WWE Rivals documentary, on interviews? That was always the end game. And I feel like the fact that people want to see the same exact main event again, and I understand why. I'm not saying that those people are crazy, but it just feels as though people want to be a part of a movement in wrestling. People want to feel like they're a part of something. That crowd on, I think they were in Alabama on SmackDown, lit up. And I guarantee you that 60% of those same people, if they were there tonight, would have booed just because. So I don't even know if there's a question wrapped in this, but I just feel there's a trend in wrestling that we want to be a part of a movement or whatnot. I mean, I want Cody Rhodes to finish the story. I watched Busted Open Radio with Bully Ray. He laid out, honestly, hire him for creative, because he laid an entire thing how Madison Square Garden should be the place Michael Cole said it, actually in commentary. I'm not saying that's actually the plan behind the scenes, but how the Bull Run match with him and Superstar Billy Graham happened in Madison Square Garden, and that would be a great place to finish the story. So, I don't know. I guess if I do want to pose a question or a topic, it's can we take what we want to happen out of it and think of the fact this is a WrestleMania match? The Rock said this match was supposed to happen last year, before him becoming a board member was ever a thing. So the whole politicking business, and by the way, I'm not like a Rock, super Rock fan. I acknowledge what he did for the business. I was always a Undertaker, Triple H guy, just because I'm not like a Rock stan. But I just feel like this is always in the cards. So I guess, I'm just passionate about, just speak to, I guess, how it is logical, and do we think that people just want to be a part of them? I mean, we're saying we want Cody. Kofi Mania was a thing because we never thought Kofi Kingston would wrestle for a title. Daniel Bryan at the time, we never thought that would happen. Cody has been there and done that. I like him, kind of cut the same promo. He wrestles the same good match. He says the same type of things. I mean, as a wrestling fan for almost two decades, I want to see Rock Roman. And I feel like I feel guilty for saying that. So can you speak to those people who are justifying the direction that they're going in?
Well, yeah, so great impassioned counterpoint, and I love it. I mean, this is why it's great to have these phone calls and the emails and all that. I mean, I said it's Friday night on our extra long post show. Hope everyone checks that out if you haven't yet. We did it in two parts. It was so long. That the people who are against this, I still think are going to watch. But I'm less convinced after, you know, tonight and what Ian passed along to about Knoxville, that Rock isn't going to get booed quite a bit at WrestleMania, but we got a couple months to tell that story. And some of this emotion will wear off, and there's a lot of things that can happen with Cody and The Rock where I just think it's premature. It's sort of like, you know, presidential polls right now. I mean, it just means so little because the key voters who are the swing voters aren't paying attention yet. And when they start paying attention, they're going to look at what Biden has done, what Trump is saying. You know, they're going to look and assess things. And so that's kind of how I feel about this. I think a lot of people who are feeling strongly today are going to spend the next 2 months having a story told to them. And if they are okay, they might be more okay with it than they are. But I think there's something to, Jimmy, the idea that people want to be part of a movement. I mean, wrestling fans, you see it everywhere. I mean, wrestling fans encounter it everywhere. It's more mainstream than it ever has been. I mean, it's just crazy when I think about, like, when we started the website, you know, semi-modern era, you know, 1999, in the early years, we'd be like, every day we'd look for a mainstream wrestling mention. Like, and we'd include it in our Torch Today updates, our daily updates. Like, here's a mention of pro wrestling in the mainstream media. Like, it was a news item if somebody happened to mention a wrestler on a sports talk show or on ESPN or in a newspaper. And now it's just everywhere. And there's all these mainstream corporate brands covering wrestling. And it really is part of pop culture in a way it hasn't been. But it doesn't change the fact that there's still, not ostracized, I don't want to overstate it, but there's a little bit of a judgment and looking down at fans by people if you're into pro wrestling. And I think that's the part of the culture of wrestling fans is rooting for the underdog, rooting for the wrestler who seems like they are a fan. And Cody, and it's what worked for Sammy, it's what works with Kevin Owens. I mean, there's certain wrestlers who it's just hard to ever boo them if they come across as if they are genuine in loving pro wrestling. It's their life, and if they weren't a wrestler, they'd be in the crowd cheering and watching every week like them. Those types of wrestlers get the benefit over people who come in seeming like hotshots or being pushed by the promoter for other reasons. And Rock, despite the wrestling family and all that, I think people see him as a hotshot coming in and taking Cody out of a spot. And I think wrestling fans do have a tendency to react to that. And I think that's where some of this is coming from. I think that's where most of it is coming from. So, yeah, I mean, Nate, I'll throw to you. Is this part of just kind of the DNA of wrestling fans at this point? And they look for these opportunities to be pro underdog and pro full-timer, anti-superstar big shot.
I think it's definitely some of that. I mean, you know, I like, Jimmy, I like you going back to, you know, Daniel Bryan calling the fans fickle because, man, there's only one other fandom that I could think of where they're, the fans are just as fickle, and that's Magic the Gathering, the playing card game. Go to those forums, and oh, my God. But, yeah, so, I mean, I think it's definitely some of that. But, you know, like I'm kind of with, you know, with Jimmy here on this. And I said it a little bit ago. I really don't think in like 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, we're going to be thinking of this as a big deal. I mean, you know, like Jimmy said, and we've said, you know, we said earlier tonight, this is a big match. This is a marquee match. This is a match we've been, you know, between The Rock and Roman, match that they've been building for a long time. So there's definitely a subset of fans that want to see that match. I'm one of them. I definitely want to see that match. I've wanted to see it for a while. You know, The Rock was like a, growing up, The Rock was like a, he was kind of like my third favorite, a big Undertaker guy myself. You know, so it's not like there's definitely part nostalgia factor there for me, but it's also, I respect the man. I respect what he's done in and out of the business. And, you know, I've liked the story that they've been telling with the head of the table and all of that. So I don't know. I think that there's certainly a, you know, merit to those who are getting behind Cody and, you know, want him to finish the story and all of that, because that's also a compelling story. But I do. I think people are making a much bigger deal out of this than they ought to. You know, it's a show where that they're presenting a story to us. Sure, we may not necessarily like the story where it's like where it is right now, but we don't we don't really know where it's going either. You know, we can speculate all we want, but we don't necessarily know what the story is they're telling us. So let's sit back, let them tell the story a little bit, and you know, and then make a judgment in you know, about a month or a month or so, and see where we are there. But like I said, I think by that point, in about a month or so, you know, people are probably going to be behind The Rock and Roman. You know, The Rock, like I said earlier, he's got the audience in the palm of his hand when he's out there. So even if his music hits, you know, he comes out to a SmackDown or something and he gets booed, I guarantee you by the end of that promo, he'll have the people in the palm of his hand.
So I'm with you on a lot of this. I'm just not as sure about that last sentence, that last part of the sentence. I don't know if Rock is sharp enough at standing in front of a 2024 wrestling audience with the landscape having changed and him being this, you know, top, this mega star, but who's been involved in some controversies, and being able to turn the crowd if they feel passionate about Coney. I'm not ruling it out, but I'm just not sure that'll happen. I think under ideal circumstances, everybody would be working to make that happen. But I don't know how, if everyone's going to be working to make that happen, to be honest, behind the scenes. I mean, we see stuff going on with Seth and Roman about, you know, taking digs at each other. You know, if that's going to be allowed, if that's going to be encouraged, I just don't know that everyone's going to be like, all right, let's try to figure out a way to make this work. But, you know, I think that's going to be the attempt. But I don't know that Rock can stand in the middle of the ring and make it work. I hope he does. I mean, I'm not rooting for Rock being rejected and failing if the fans truly are okay with it. By the time they tell the story, that's great. Everybody wins in that. Well, I mean, Cody still loses his WrestleMania moment at the time that he wanted it. But maybe Cody ends up okay with it because the fans, the groundswell of support for him sort of would have never happened in this way if not for this happening. So, you know, you can say, yeah, it sucks I don't have this, but I would have never found out the bond that I have with the fans and how they feel about me if it didn't seem like something was taken away from me and they expressed it. I mean, Cody's standing there and people are choosing Cody over The Rock. I'm sorry. This is Cody's dream. You know, in the midst of a bad dream, it's a good dream. He's got the crowd going, we love you, Cody, because Rock is taking something from you. I mean, if Cody just won the Rumble and got the match, he wouldn't have ever quite had that moment. And now he has that moment. So I even think he's going to have some mixed feelings as time goes on. Jimmy, back to you if you want to follow up on that or bring up anything else.
Yeah, no, thank you. That was a great point. Nate and I will raise you one higher in terms of fickle fandom. Sure. I will say Star Wars as well.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? I'll give you that.
Yeah. But no, great. I'm happy that I don't, because I almost felt when this was all unfolding, I was online and I was like, am I crazy? Like, I understand the point. Like, wait, I understand what you're saying. And by the way, we're leaving out, I mentioned him before, we're leaving out Paul Heyman here. You know, right now, Paul Heyman is, his mind is going, if it really is Rock and Roman. Because I will say, I listened to Michael Cole closely, and the way he was saying, I want Cody to finish the story too. And I do have to say, and I'll go on record saying I do want Rock and Roman to happen. But they did leave a lot of breadcrumbs. It isn't 100%. I will say that. There's a lot of things in commentary where
–
and I will say that is not smart. Sorry, Nick, go on.
I think they would have handled this way even if the crowd wasn't reacting the way that they were, because they want people to tune in for the press conference and have it seem newsworthy. So they want to create like this sort of artificial, come on, you're kidding me. We know what you're going to do. It's insulting to my intelligence. You're pretending it's not going to be Rock Reigns. Like, that's what we'd be saying right now, but I think they'd still be doing it because they want there to be it's like a contract signing. Like, you already announced the match. Why are you signing the contract after you announced the match? We know, you know, they're going to sign the damn contract. But it's ceremonial. I think they want this WrestleMania press conference to feel a little less ceremonial, a little bit more like maybe it's not final, even though it is. That's my take on it. Now, the X factor is, how does crowd reactions Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, online, does that cause any kind of second guessing? Does Rock go, man, I didn't know the fans wanted it this much. My reputation can't handle it. We'll figure out another time to do it. Does Ari Emanuel step in and go, wait a second, I don't want, with all the Vince news, for fans to be rebelling against us. We got to figure out a way to fix this. I mean, I'm not ruling that out, but I'm confident it's going to be signed, and they just are teasing that it might not because they want people to tune in just in case. Now, yeah. So it, but in what I think maybe what you're saying, Jimmy, is maybe that's giving some anti-Rock fans false hope. That's going to then upset them more when it seems like they had a chance to adjust and they aren't. And I do get that. I mean, every single step of the way, there is a, like, even the argument about, oh, Rock should have won the Rumble. Well, yeah, but then Rock stole the Rumble from Cody. Like, every augmentation, I mean, I'm not saying they thought of everything or anticipated everything, but I give them credit for you know, in some cases going, well, if we do this, there's a risk, but if we do this other thing, there's also a risk. Because, again, it's what do you do when your starting quarterback is healthy, but your backup just went 6-0 and has a 120 quarterback rating? I mean, it's a good problem to have, but you know you're going to disappoint some people.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I guess my last thing is, and again, I hate that I'm sounding like a Rock defender, because I am really not – I never did that. But he doesn't have a habit of doing this. In fact, I almost had some animosity towards The Rock for not coming back. I mean, he went on SmackDown for the Fox premiere. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, you dude, you really can't, like, you know, you sign up for a movie, you sign your contract, you have to film for X amount of months, you have to do marketing for this amount of months. And in my mind, I was like, you really can't just set that set of time for, like, a match with Roman or a match in general. And I looked at his IMDb, and a lot of his projects are in post-production, and he was on Jimmy Fallon, I think, recently, and his next project is Moana live action. So I also think it's just a matter of timing. So
yeah,
it's not
it
like
is.
He has,
yeah,
you know, it's not like Goldberg who beat The Fiend and everyone, you know, there's not a history of The Rock coming in and stealing spots. This is the first time he's wrestling since I actually watched his last match. I was at MetLife against Cena. So that's all. I appreciate you guys listening to my passion rant about how I think this is very dramatic and over.
Thanks, Jimmy.
I always love a good rant.
Yes, and I think it's just good that you, Jimmy, are expressing a point of view that people in perhaps, I don't want to say a bubble, because in this case I don't think it's a bubble, but like people who are on Team Cody, it's good to hear the counter argument from someone who's not even a Rock fan, but just going, wait a second, let's step back. And I think the schedule is part of it. I mean, again, I'm not saying nobody is telling me that Rock is the bad guy here, because there are people who see him that way in WWE and resent this. But I don't think anybody, even if they think Rock's being a bad guy here, think that there's any animus towards Cody. Like, it's either naivete or this sucks, but if we're going to do this, it's got to be now. It's the only time it'll work, and we just got to take the heat. And it sucks for Cody, but we got to do Rock Roman. And if this is the only time that can make sense, it sucks because I know we're going to disappoint people. People are going to be angry, but Cody's going to have a full-time career for years to come and a lot of big matches. And this is kind of that one perfect window for Reigns and Rock to happen. So it's good for people who are very anti-Rock to hear that. It doesn't mean they have to change their mind. I'm not trying to convince anyone to change their mind. I'm just trying to be fair-minded in looking at both sides. And you know, ultimately, and I've said, I side a little more with sticking with Cody than I do with Rock, but I understand. I don't think there's a clear-cut, perfectly good guy and evil counter, you know, evil other side to this. And we've had those situations in pro wrestling probably before. I just don't think this is one of them. Anyway, Jimmy, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure. Yeah, you bet. Let's go to Brian in Virginia. I believe you're up next. Brian, go ahead. What's in your mind about Raw tonight? Brian, are you there? 205?
Yeah, hey, Wade.
Hey, Brian. Yep, there you are. Maybe you're muted. You're live. What's on your mind about Raw tonight? Hello.
Hey, Wade.
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah, okay, this is not Brian. This is Jeff in Birmingham.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Well, good. Thank you for correcting me. Go ahead, yep.
No problem. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I've been listening for 5 years, I think, first time calling. I did email you on Friday. I was at the show. Got a couple observations just about the Cody Rock thing, and I guess I'll add one more voice to the pro-Rock side of things. If all of this is legitimate, right, if Cody, the man, expected the main event of WrestleMania and it was taken away from him, I feel really sorry for him. And I hate that for the man. But if I'm the leadership of WWE, I do exactly what they're doing. And here's why, right? So at the show, I noticed, like I'm a big, I took my three kids, 11-year-old, 14-year-old, 18-year-old. We watch Raw SmackDown pretty much every week. We go to every show that comes to Birmingham. We went to WrestleMania 37. So we're in, we're fans, right? I'm on Twitter too much, my kids are not. So when this happened, when Rock comes out, the whole place is just standing. I mean, no pun intended, it was electrifying. It was a moment in time. And my kids, they are the only wrestling fans they know. None of their friends watch wrestling. They're into other things, whatever. It's not like when we were growing up and you went to school and talked about it. And so they're watching the show. They're having fun. It's great. They were off their phones the whole time, which is perfect. That's what I want. When The Rock came out, they're texting their friends. Dwayne Johnson is here. I can't believe I get to see Dwayne Johnson. They're inviting people over to WrestleMania already. Their friends want to come be a part of it. It's the first time they've been able to go and talk to their peers who are now excited with them about what's happening. And that's something I don't think that the IWC, whatever we want to call it, that's a part of it that I don't think that they see, that this is much bigger and legitimately does bring eyeballs into the equation. And so this is, as much as Cody and Roman is an amazing match, and what a WrestleMania main event that would be. If you got Rock Roman, you have to do it.
I mean, that's why I just, as outraged as some people are, I can't share the outrage, because in this case, I see both sides. And some of it comes down to just how was it handled. You know, I think that's part of the issue that internally in WWE upset some people. But I mean, Rock is Rock. He's a huge, huge star. He's going to bring more eyeballs than Cody would have to WrestleMania. You know, but the issue in it's business. It's not what's fair. But Cody's going to be around the day after Mania, the week after Mania, 2 weeks after Mania, 3 weeks after Mania, 3 months after Mania, 3 years after Mania, and The Rock's not. And the question is, are they costing themselves something, goodwill with the fans as a brand? Or does all the heat fall on Rock? Do people assume this was his call, his influence, his busy schedule, that only this was the only time it can work? And, you know, so he's a big shot, and does the heat not go on the company? But there's a risk it goes on the company. But if it does, they're not going to not support Cody. So it's complicated. There's a lot of things. But, yeah, another great anecdote from you about, you know, how this is, you know, raising awareness in a different way than if it didn't happen. Nate, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we've said it a few times now throughout the course of the show, but I mean, this is the bigger marquee match that is going to bring in a mainstream audience. I mean, you know, it kind of, you know, kind of Brian's point, like, you know, I'm kind of that person in my life. I have a couple friends that are wrestling fans, a couple acquaintances that are even in the business, but, you know, in terms of people in my day-to-day life, nobody's a wrestling fan. But The Rock comes out, and all of a sudden, I've got all my buddies. My core circle of friends I've had since fourth grade. So all my friends that used to be wrestling fans back then, hey, The Rock's back. Like, what's going on? And now they're all talking to me about WrestleMania. So I, you know, and they actually, even one of them was talking to me, you know, wanted to know a little bit more about, like, Cody and things. Who's reading stuff about that kind of hit the mainstream. So I agree. I think it's you know, even though it sucks for Cody, you know, Cody, the human being, loses out on that, you know, that finish the story, whatever. I mean, it doesn't suck that bad because he's still going to get a marquee wrestling match at WrestleMania. But, you know, I think it's the right business decision. I mean, I've been passed up for promotions and stuff in the past. It's business. I think it's ultimately going to bring more eyeballs, bring more money in. People just might, you know, your regular wrestling fan right now, or I guess more the hardcore wrestling fan right now might be a little bit upset by it. But, you know, like I keep saying, I think in a few weeks, this is this isn't going to be nearly as big of a deal as it is right now.
I will say that I do believe Cody has been sincere and honest, including, and by the way, I put together a story on pwtorch.com yesterday with tons of highlights of what I thought stood out in the mainstream media coverage. I did a Wade Keller hotline for VIP members last night for around 30 minutes, talking in depth about the media coverage and also adding some insight and some commentary that wasn't in the published story. And one of the things that is worth stressing is what Cody has said in the mainstream media interviews, especially that CBS Sports interview, I'm told is his true feelings. Like, he didn't know what was going to happen until Rumble weekend. He did not. He knew there was a chance because Rock dropped that line on Raw about head of the table, and he was hoping that he would still get the WrestleMania match. I mean, all that is sincere, and these emotions are real, and I think fans buy it. It's understandable to be skeptical. There have been fake tears in wrestling before, but in this case, this is genuinely Cody not knowing, finding out, being crushed, and I think fans feel for him because they've told a great story, even if it's not historically in the spirit of how, you know, Dusty's match with Graham at MSG went, you know, how it was perceived in the business at that time. It was a story fans can believe in, and there's just enough truth there and enough, you know, emotion from Cody that people are buying into it. So, yeah, I mean, this is a genuine thing, and Cody's genuinely hurt, and I think people see that, and they're coming to the aid of somebody who they think is, like, their friend, their celebrity friend. And I think that's part of what's happening here. And Rock's got some work to do. We'll see how good he is. Brian, back to you. Did I just call you Brian again?
Yeah, well.
Go ahead, yeah.
You did, but that's okay. I'll be Brian.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what? No, I think I did it too. So I'm sorry, Jeff. I think I called you Brian too.
You did, but
I'm
good enough.
We are calling you Jeff. Yes.
All right. So one thing about tonight, forgive me if you've already talked about this. I tuned in a little bit late. But in storyline, Cody made the decision, for whatever reason, we don't know yet, to give this opportunity to The Rock because he thinks that's the best way to punish Roman, I guess. And yet tonight, they kept referring to, this has been such a hard week for Cody, you know, and they're talking about what's going on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, do you feel like it's getting too meta? Do you feel like that's part of the story or they're just trying to figure out how to navigate this? What do you think is going on there?
That's a great point. Because the storyline is Cody gave up something he earned voluntarily because The Rock, when he called him, pointed out, I can take everything from Roman. You hate Roman. You can take the title at another time. Let me come in. It's a flimsy story. It has been fleshed out. They didn't fill in enough tonight to make it make sense. And they definitely are leaning into Cody as sort of a victim of something. And there is a meta aspect to it. I can imagine a different approach on commentary that would be a little more along the lines of WWE. And I hear Corey Graves' voice in my head somehow when I think of this for whatever reason. Just going, you know, is Cody regretting his decision? Is Cody second-guessing his decision? He gave something up that meant a lot to him. But they did seem – they really were just enamored with the groundswell of support for Cody and the pushback – and the crowd chants, and it does seem like they're kind of relishing in trending on Twitter for the whole weekend more than they are telling a story that makes sense in the narrative structure of WWE. And so if they had said, this has been tough on Cody because he made a decision Friday that he certainly thought a lot about, he might ultimately be okay with, but it hurts, and he knows it hurts the fans because he's hearing it, that he gave up something that he really wanted and that the fans really wanted, but that day will come in a different form, in a different place. They're not talking like that. And maybe they should have. Maybe it's telling in some way that they didn't. I'm still processing all that. But it's a good point because this was more meta than fitting, hey, Cody did this because he wanted to and everyone needs to get over it. No, this was tough on Cody, but they didn't say that key phrase. He made a decision that was tough. It sunk in. Does he regret it? We didn't hear that. Now, maybe that would create even more doubt about what's going to happen Thursday, and they only want to go so far with that and not too far. Nate, what do you think?
I mean, that kind of sounds like it might make the most sense to me. But, I'm actually going to throw it back to him. My headset's about to die, so I'm scrambling to find another one real quick.
Okay, sure. Understood. Jeff, back to you.
That's it. I appreciate the time, Wade. Good talking to you. Appreciate all that you do.
Yeah, thanks. Hope you call again, and I got your name right next. I'll have your name right next time. Take care. All right, so we had a couple of people drop off as we've been going here. Understandable, some people have to get to sleep and such. But if you do want to sneak in a late call, you can, 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. Push 1 if you want to be on the show. We can get you on right away if you do it right away. If not, we are going to go to mailbag. So someone took us up on that. Let's see here. Area code 925. Go in and state your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, hello. This is Mike. I'm actually from Minnesota.
Hey, Mike. Where you... Oh, cool.
The awesome. 925 is a California area code, but I used to live in Burnsville.
That's so confusing because 952 is a area code for this area. So everyone's transposing your number constantly,
Mayo.
I bet.
Mayo always used to call the 952 number and be like, your phone number is disconnected. And I'm like, it's not disconnected, it's 925. It's just a 20-year-old phone number.
That's funny. Yeah, so
anyways,
thanks for calling, Mike. Where in Minnesota are you from?
I was from Burnsville. Right now I'm in Tennessee because I came here for a heart transplant, but I'm going to go back to Minnesota because I got taken off the transplant list.
Oh,
it's a long story. It sucks. It's horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a super, super rare heart defect that no hospital is willing to do a transplant on.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, Mike, sorry to hear that. I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
No. I didn't mean to, like, you know, you're here to just talk wrestling and have a fun time. So let's go there.
sure.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us what's on your mind.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you, this whole weekend has sucked. The Dave LaGreca, he had a thing on, like, earlier today, and he's like, I haven't slept at all. I don't know if he's just, like, playing a character or whatever doing that, but that's actually how I felt this weekend because, like, I've just been so emotional. And, I mean, I had friends who were, like, casual friends – not casual friends, casual wrestling fans. And, people that I know in person, like I went to the Nashville show with one of my friends. He texts me. He's like, F Rock. He says, we want Cody. He says everything like that. This guy just like barely watches wrestling, but we watched the Rumble together and he was so excited when Cody won. And he was like, yeah, they're going to do it. And then like I had another friend who loves Cody, and, you know, she's been watching wrestling for a long time, but she doesn't really go to shows and stuff like that. But and she texted me. She was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I hate The Rock now. And it's just that's how I feel. Like,
wow.
I don't want to hate the guy. I don't want to, like, you know, it sucks because I never in my life, and there's probably – Cody is like this too. He probably would have never guessed that when this happened, people were going to boo The Rock and cheer him. There's like nobody in the world. Like if you would have told me this like 3 months ago or something that was going to happen, no way I would have believed you. Because I'm a huge Cody fan. I would have been like, yeah, I would have maybe done that. But
it's crazy. I mean, this is it. Cody might have a little sympathy for Rock, given what Cody went through in AEW. Now, very different circumstances. I mean, it wasn't like Cody took a spot from someone else and all that. But, you know, the crowd that he thought, you know, not that they owed him cheers, but he's like, folks, come on. You know, I co-founded this company, this movement, and I'm not a bad guy, and what are you doing? But, you know, he missteps, a tough crowd, and he was getting booed. And so, you know, as Rock's getting booed, he might actually have a little sympathy having kind of been through that. But he also might just resent Rock for ruining his WrestleMania moment. That was because Rock had the power to do it, and he took something away from Cody that will never be the same. And I'm not in Cody's head when it comes to that, and I'm sure he's going through his own, you know, process, hopefully in perspective. You know, again, going back to CM Punk, it's like, it's not cancer diagnosis. It's not being rejected for a heart transplant. It's wrestling. So you know, we all want to keep it in perspective, but the fact is you want fans to be passionate. If you're a wrestler, if you're a promoter, and sometimes that passion expresses itself in a way that is inconvenient or can hurt egos. And so it is a fascinating time. Honestly, I mean, granted, when Rock said, you know, the head of the table line, I'm like, uh-oh. And I mean, started contacting people in WWE. How is this going to go? How's this going to go? You got to be kidding me. This is Cody's year. So, I mean, I've been prepping for this moment for a month, but, you know, until it happens, you don't know how people are going to react. And it's fascinating. This business is fascinating. I mean, there's a little lull here and there where you're like, what are we going to talk about? You know, and you end up talking about something that's not quite as fascinating as this, but this is fascinating. Nate, are you back with a headset or not? I just want to check in on the call.
I am. Good to go.
Cool. Good. So, Nate, do you want anything to this discussion or should I throw it back to Mike?
I definitely can. No, it's weird because, you know, as he was kind of talking about, you know, kind of being a little bit emotional and things throughout the course of the week and weekend and things like that, you know, I was thinking to myself, like, I kind of was too, but for different reasons. And I think, you know, and I'm kind of, one of the things I've been saying this entire episode is, you know, I don't think this is as big of a deal or it won't be, you know, in about 3 or 4 weeks. And I'm wondering if that might be a me thing, because I've been so much more invested in what's going on with Vince and the company and, you know, the allegations and all of that. I mean, I've gone through and, you know, read the 67-page lawsuit and all of that. And that's where my mind has been focused. Even having trouble reconciling my fandom to a point. I know that's not what we were talking about, and it kind of just totally took a left turn there. But I just kind of wanted to try and put that into perspective, kind of for myself. But you know, obviously, if you guys listen to me as well, it's like it's a crazy time to be a wrestling fan for multiple reasons right now. And I think at least for me, I've been putting a little bit more of the focus on what's been going on, you know, legally and all of that. Yeah.
Nate, I wonder if some fans see Rock, and I'm this is just a wild thing I haven't thought through, like see him as part of representing the establishment, and they're upset at the establishment that they can't boo Vince, but they see Cody as this good guy, a dad, he's married, he's a pro wrestling fan, second generation, he's full-time, he did leave, he made himself a bigger deal, but he came back and he's worked full-time and he's put in the effort. And then they see Rock as in some weird way, and not fair to Rock, representing something having to do with sort of that emotional angst they feel over the McMahon stuff. And the McMahon stuff, like I've said this in a couple podcasts, like I've just – this is who Vince McMahon is, has been baked in for 35 years with me. Like none of this surprises me. I mean, there's details that I'm like, oh my God. But like, this is just incremental. I mean, I was writing about Vince McMahon back in the whole steroid trial thing, writing, you know, editorials back in the early 90s about, you know, how awful he was in distorting the truth. And, you know, I did a whole column of McLies or something like that. I can't remember what I called it. And on and on. I mean, it's just been one thing after another with him, you know, where I've covered. It's like I watch WWE with, like, knowledge of who Vince McMahon was this whole time. And so I feel a little more, you know, like it's baked in. I understand this is so graphic and so appalling that it, you know, I'm not critical of anybody going, wait, this crossed a line that had not been crossed before. But for me, it does feel incremental. And as one ex-WWE wrestler told me, he goes, I feel like it's horrible, but what's crazy is I'm not shocked and I might be shocked. Maybe that's the way phrase it's not in front of me. I might be shocked, but there's not anything I'm reading that makes me think Vince couldn't and wouldn't likely have done this. And how sad is that? How sad is that? So, yeah, it is kind of, you know, just... it's just everyone's processing this stuff. And I say all that, and I still, my leaning is, even though I just sort of made that argument, I still think fans just like Cody and don't want that moment taken away. And they see Rock as a part-time big shot coming back and taking something away from them. And I think that would have happened without Vince, but it's possible it's amplified because of the Vince stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, because, you know, where you just kind of said, you know, seeing him as maybe, you know, a member of the establishment, member of the corporation, if you will, go back in the day, you know, but that was something that kind of did bother me when I read that it was like, you know, he wanted this as kind of a stipulation for being, for joining the board, you know, as he wanted that match. And it kind of, it almost rubbed me the wrong way a little bit because it's kind of like, almost like, exerting power and whatnot.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But you know, yeah, I don't know. I kind of, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. Mike, back to you.
Oh yeah. That's exactly how it feels like with everyone that I've talked to too, that he's just shoving his way in. He's like the big star. He's like, move over, Cody. This is, you know, thanks for setting up, you know, everything for me, I'll finish up from here, you know, sport. That's what it feels like. Like, you know, like he's like the little young lion or whatever they call him, you know, like he's like the bat boy, like getting, you know, this stuff ready for the star. Like he's like, I got it from here, you know, and it just sucks. Cause like they've been doing this. Okay. So people will tell me, oh, well, Roman's got to beat, you know, Hogan's record. I don't think Hogan has a record. It's like a third place spot, right? That's my opinion of it. It's not really a record. Bruno has the record. And then Backlund has, you know, the second most. And then sure, Hogan has the third longest or whatever. And if that thing matters to him, that doesn't make sense to me, but whatever. They've been doing this for 2 years. The man wrestled with a hemorrhage in his pectoral, you know, and arm where he couldn't even like lift his arm Hell in the Cell match last year. Or was it last year or was it 2022? Was it 22?
Yes.
I can't remember. Okay.
Time just blends together.
Yeah, no, it was then because I, you know, you've talked about this show a bunch, that SmackDown that was in Minnesota, right? I think it was in July when Vince came out. And then Brock came, that was the Riddle-Roman match, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's when
Brock came out. So I was there with a friend, and I thought that was going to be the last wrestling match I was ever going to see because Mayo had given me the, you know, crosses, you know, see you later thing where I was on end stage. Cause I'm on right now, I'm on end stage, heart and liver failure. So who knows how long I got, but wrestling's all I have, you know, besides my dog.
Yeah.
I have a service dog and I have my mom, so I don't want to discount her, but I mean, as far as like, this is my life now. You know, I don't go anywhere. Yeah. I don't do anything. I can't do anything. And I was living, at least for me, I don't, you know, they don't make the show for me, but I know a lot of people have shitty days, shitty lives, and they want to see somebody win. Like you were saying, the underdog come up and get, you know, get the whole thing. And then it feels like when all that's happening, we've been waiting 2 years. And then, you know, you have to wait longer. And it's like, people can only wait so long. I mean, like TV shows, they can get super popular, and then all of a sudden, two seasons later, they got half their audience. Because they just do things that, you know, just people don't like a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's so much entertainment. Yeah. There's so many options. You know, I don't have to watch this. I don't have to keep paying $40 a month for whatever Sling is what I have. I don't, you know, I could save myself the money and just watch YouTube, just listen to you guys, you know, that's $10 a month or whatever I'm paying for that. And that would be that I would get my fill from there and watching the clips on YouTube. I would save, you know, money doing that. But I do this because I love it. And then, you know, it's hard when they do this stuff because they finally get me really brought back in and they get people that I know into it too. And we love, and I love going over to my friend's house and watching it. And it feels awesome for me because we have something to hang out with and connect over. And then we're both rooting for Bailey and Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And when he wins and he points at Roman, because I remember, like, I was waiting number 30 at Royal Rumble. I was like, please don't be The Rock. Please don't be The Rock. That's all I was just thinking in my head.
Yes.
I was just hoping it wasn't going to be him. And then once he didn't come out, I was like, oh, yes. And then Cody, I was like, okay, I feel like it's between Punk and Cody. I didn't care who won at that point. I was excited for both of them. Actually, the final four, any of them would have won. It would have been awesome. Cody wins, points at Roman. I'm like, yes, it's going to happen this year. And then come Friday, like Monday, actually Monday is like they're trying to swerve you. And then I'm like, all right, this is weird. Why are they doing this? Or maybe just to like keep it going, you know, the story, because they got like two more months or whatever. All right, give them, I'll wait it out. Friday comes, and then The Rock shows up. And I'm like, oh, no, come on.
Like, Mike, would it have been better for you if Rock just won the Rumble? Like, just so you didn't have that week to think about Cody?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just such a big letdown. Because, like, I got super hyped. I was like, yes, he's going to do it. And then they just take it all, like, you know, his song, they took it all away from the fans, you know? Like, it's like, oh, sorry, we're going to tell you what you like. It feels like Vince is back. It's just like, we know what's best for you. And it's like, man, so I stopped, because I had stopped watching for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Years ago, and because it was just, it wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah, I think, you know, people go through it with, like, Dexter when, like, the last few seasons were awful and Walking Dead. It's like, come on, you're milking this for too long. And you talk about the series. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I think if Cody's still around, I just don't know what story they're going to tell the next 2 months. I just genuinely don't. And so I'm along for the ride. But people feel strongly about it. And Mike, you're just like the epitome of it. I mean, you're going, this is what I wanted. This is the year it needs to happen for me to see it. And Rock took it away. And it's just, and I mean, Rock's going to face a lot of that. And I don't know how I can't get in his head about how he feels about the reaction. And if it hurts, and if he, in his mind, is, you know, blowing it off because he's, you know, just takes out his phone app to look at his bank account. I don't know how he copes, but I think he wants to be popular, and I think he doesn't want to be booed, and I think, you know, for him to be as successful as he is, there's an ego there, you know, healthy or unhealthy, there's an ego there that wants approval and admiration, you know, maybe to an extreme degree. So this might be causing him sleepless nights. I don't know. But, again, I tell everyone, keep it in perspective, be passionate, but, you know, let's not do death threats and express yourself, mad, but you know,
No, it's what, like, it's, I saw people were happy to get blocked by, what's his daughter's name? I mean, her character name is like Ava Rain or whatever.
Yeah.
Ava,
I can't remember what her real name is, but I remember, it just happened today. Somebody had posted that they were like happy that they got blocked because they, you know, told her we want Cody and stuff like that to her. I'm like, she's a totally different person. She has nothing to do with this. Like, these are different people. People don't agree with their parents. People aren't like their parents at all. These are different people, completely different people. You can't, just because they were made from that person doesn't mean, you know, they approve of everything or the, you know, all that stuff. Like, who knows what she's thinking? Maybe she agrees with, like, Cody should be in this. Who knows? I don't know. But it's hard enough to be her anyways, because she's constantly criticized and everything like that just for, you know, being The Rock's daughter and everything. So, geez, give her a break. Like, that's horrible. I don't like that people are gloating about getting, you know, blocked or whatever, I just leave her. Yeah, just leave her alone.
Yeah.
She's a...
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
no, really sad.
I know, yeah. Mike, anything else you want to say? And I hope you'll call back with updates as we move along in this story the next 2 months.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is my first time calling because I'm not very good at talking.
Yeah.
So.
You've done a great job at talking. You've broken our hearts a little bit and put things in perspective.
It's been a roller coaster, man.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, just like stay in touch. Like, make Colin. If it works for you, and if it you know, you can give us a call and keep us up to date on. And I'd love to talk to you again about this story and the situation.
Oh, sure. There was one more thing. I think there was an event you were at where Mankind went to the Mall of America, or Mick Foley did. And I think I was there too. Well, I don't know if it was the same one you were there, but I remember him mentioning you in the back, and I couldn't see
like
you.
Like his stand-up? The stand-up event?
Yeah, his stand-up
a few years ago.
It was like at some bar or something like that.
Yeah, they have a comedy event, Mall of America on Portland. Yeah, I went. I was Mick's guest and hung out with him, you know, before and after the show and everything. It was real fun.
Oh, okay. See, yeah, I didn't know you. I didn't know you that well then. Well, I don't really know you well now, but I mean, I didn't know. I hadn't been listening to you much then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I
that's
knew,
right. You did mention
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I knew
on the
your
stage.
Name.
He said
I was trying to get him. I was trying to ask him a question about something. I can't remember what it was now. But I did get to meet him at the end. Oh my God!
Oh, good.
Mick Foley is my number one favorite guy of all time. Because he's that, you know, underdog guy, and and he's just he took a beating and everything, and I cried like a baby with him. I started sobbing on his big, beefy shoulders, and I was like, "I'm so sorry. I'm just so excited to see you. I never thought I'd get to see you." And like, because I mean, this was shortly after they told me I probably had like maybe a year or two left to live, and I was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I finally get to see you after all these years being like the biggest fan ever." Oh, that was funny. That's cool. I mean, it's funny that I happen to be at a lot of these events that you were at, and I hear you talking about them and stuff like that. And I'm like, I think I was there too. It's like, that's weird. But I guess maybe it's not
that's
so
great.
Weird because I'm a wrestling fanatic. So,
yeah, from Minnesota, from the 925.
Well,
I mean, 952.
I'll be back. I'll be moving back to Minnesota. I just don't know when. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, give us a call again, Mike.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I wish you luck, and I hope you defy the odds and are around for a long time, obviously.
Well, I'm longer than Mayo thought, but that's because they put me on some bunch of new medicine that, you know, doing some weird stuff with. That they're trying out. So,
well, you're in good hands at the Mayo. If anything can be done, you know, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't. They
I appreciate
couldn't do the
you
heart
sharing.
Yeah. Sadly,
I know. Yeah.
Neither could Nashville.
Well, Mike,
but sorry.
Your spirit, your enthusiasm, your passion, your story. I appreciate you sharing all that with us tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks.
And
have a good night,
and
man.
Give your dog a hug for us. Thank you. Yep.
Oh yeah, Magnus.
Oops. But what's his name?
Oh, his name's Magnus.
Magnus. Oh, cool. Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. After the chess player.
Cool. Well.
All right.
Yeah.
Have a good
well,
night,
Magnus. You're now famous as you can be by having your name mentioned on the Wade Keller Post Show. thanks, Mike. Hopefully, we'll talk to you soon. Maybe next week or the week after, whenever works. And Have a safe journey back to Minnesota.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll head over to Charles in D.C. or Mexico City. We never know. Charles, welcome. What's on your mind tonight about Raw?
Hey, you have such a good memory. I'm currently in D.C.
I was thinking about Brock Lesnar, and I think if he would have been in the Rumble had the Vince McMahon story not come out, he would have eliminated Cody, and maybe CM Punk would have won. So I think they called it audible because it's still weird to me how Bron Breakker had such a big role. I think that would have been Brock's role. Keeping that in mind, there's three things that happens in media denying. Let me see. I wrote it down, and I was thinking about this: deflecting, diffusing, and distraction. And I think that The Rock is part of TKO's plan to kind of move away from the Vince story because everyone's talking about Rock taking the place. And it was kind of meta in the sense they kept saying it's a rough week, it's a rough week, it's a rough week. And it's like we're seeing Cody as the picture of the rough week as opposed to the WWE having a rough week in the media. So I think it's pretty cool, and I think that The Rock is kind of falling on the sword in the sense saying, okay, I'll be the bad guy for this, and in the WWE universe or the internet wrestling community, we'll talk about me taking Cody's place as opposed to Vince McMahon taking liberties with women against their will.
Nate,
hope that wasn't too much.
No.
So, I mean, as far as The Rock goes, I don't know. I mean, I feel like The Rock had to have had some sort of knowledge about what was going on coming in as a board member. He is very image-focused, image-conscious. So I have to imagine that he had some knowledge of it and before he made that decision. I don't know. I don't know if necessarily it was like, you know, the plan for him to kind of take some spotlight away from that story with this. I think this backlash is probably more than what they expected. It certainly has taken a little bit of the spotlight away from it, at least with the hardcore wrestling fans anyway, from what it seems. But with Bron Breakker though, as far as I've heard anyway, I've been reading whatever it seems like Bron Breakker basically was just they took Brock Lesnar right out and just slotted Bron Breakker right into his spot. Yes, there definitely was, a bit of an audible call there, but which was great for Bron Breakker. I mean, we've been talking on PWT Talks NXT for months about, when is he going to be going up? Because it just seemed like a matter of time. It really is not much more for him to do in NXT. And I think this is a bit of a fast track at that point. Put him in that prominent spot in the Rumble. He got all those eliminations, which Brock would have gotten. He's in a very prominent spot on both Raw and SmackDown. They're in kind of a bidding war over him. I think there's definitely a good thing for Bron Breakker. I don't know if the order of eliminations and things like that would have been different. If Brock was in the Rumble or if from everything that I've at least read at this point, it was kind of, they just slotted him right in to Brock's spot.
Charles, back to you. Yeah.
My other thing was thinking about Vince. I think we can all agree from the story that he seems a bit racist. I mean, a bit sexist, but being a wrestling fan for so many years and being African American or black, I've had suspicion of him not only being sexist but also racist. The way that I've seen Kofi Kingston lose to Brock Lesnar that fast, or the way Booker T was treated, or the way that even Big E lost their belt and their titles. I mentioned Kofi already. do you think the internet wrestling community or fans as a whole are viewing his legacy as just this, like, sexist person or all-around bad decision maker? And it was interesting to me, and I wanted to bring this up too, the way John Cena kind of supported Vince McMahon in the news. I was kind of disappointed in him in that way, because I've had to see, like, these gimmicks. I think R-Truth right now is not playing, like, as bad of a role. I think his gimmick is getting better. I actually went to see R-Truth in Washington, D.C. versus John Cena. It was the first time I saw, like, a black wrestler for a long time get that championship position. And that was big news to me. I remember Mark Henry never, like, being able to get that world heavyweight title belt, well, the WWE belt. Can you speak on the wrestling community's kind of sway, like, being upset about Cody not getting this role, but so many other wrestlers of color not having this opportunity or having opportunities take away from them?
So there seems like you're maybe saying a few things, and I want to hone in on it. Is part of your question questioning whether fans would have felt this strongly for a black wrestler in Cody's position or not? Because I don't want to misinterpret you, and that was sort of a thought I had at the end that you might be saying. Was that at all what you were getting at?
Yeah, I think I was there, and because I'm a wrestling fan too. And in our defense, I think, like, the way Daniel Bryan's comeback tour was handled, I think, like, he almost got – I felt almost like he was one of us to a certain extent his second time around getting double pinned. So it's that's proof that it's not just black wrestlers. But I did want to think about, like, would we be saying this if this was, like, a Bobby Lashley or something like that? Because he is a prominent wrestler who was in the title picture, lost to Brock Lesnar again. And it's like Brock and Vince had this thing going on. What was interesting, it was like, oh, my gosh. Like, there's a joke online right now that said every time a black wrestler got the belt, then you heard Brock Lesnar music come on and you knew that was the end of their reign. I think it's the end of Brock Lesnar's reign. So maybe there's a shift in the way that you know, wrestlers of color have opportunities now that it's a new regime.
Yeah, so that's a lot to analyze. I mean, that's a very big picture question, deserves more time than we're going to give it tonight. I will say, I think Kofi Mania should be reassuring just in terms of the WWE fan base going, hey, if we like someone, they put their time in, we have shared experiences with them, and we like them as an underdog. We're going to cheer for them, especially if we think they're a good person and likable. And Kofi had that. They tried to turn Bobby Lashley into the Street Profits heel. Fans weren't having it. I don't think that the WWE fan base fits a definition of racist. I mean, like, I'm a big advocate for, before you discuss whether someone fits a label or something fits a label, spend some time defining the term in the context that we're using it. So racist is such a – It means different.
It's a heavy term. I think I should have took that term away. I didn't mean to say race. Maybe like blind almost. I don't know. But I love being a WWE fan. I love being a Wade Keller fan. I listen every day, every week. And I think you do a really good job. I love all the hosts that you have coming on and all the great point of views that you have, and I appreciate the diversity on the that you have with the Wade Keller podcast. And I'm a VIP member, and I'm going to continue to support because I love getting like alternative views of what's going on.
Thank you, Charles. I appreciate when people compliment the torch and what I've built and what I present. In reflect things that I'm also proud of in terms of what we do. So I appreciate those kind words a lot, and I appreciate your support. The larger question is Vince McMahon a racist or not? I mean, again, I want to define that term. Are there things Vince McMahon did when it came to how he portrayed black people, how he booked them, and the opportunities he gave them relative to someone else and how he booked Brock Lesnar against them, that would enter the zone of building a case. Absolutely. You know what? I don't think running a Martin Luther King video once a year, you make up for it. But I don't think Vince was a racist in sort of the top third of people who get accused of it. Like, I think there's people who just are like really, really unfettered prejudice against black people. And I think it wasn't completely subconscious. I think there was some brazenness to some of the choices he made. So I think he's probably in like that middle third of making a case and having evidence of a powerful white person in power who has a great influence on how to portray people. But I think there's probably better people. There's better people. I don't think I have to be black to have an opinion on this, but I also think there's better, more qualified people to answer that question. And I would not defer to every black person who's ever worked with Vince, because I don't think all their experiences are the same. And they all have a different story to tell, but I think that's their story to tell more than mine. I think it's your story to tell more than mine, but I don't have a definitive answer, but I think he's absolutely done some things over the years that are shameful and regrettable that add up to at least it being a fair discussion point. And again, it comes down to defining the term. So I hope that's not too wishy-washy, but it's kind of my genuine feeling in my attempt to express it.
No, I appreciate it. I like the product. I've been watching for more than since I was 14. I'm 40 now, so that's 26 years. And I watched even earlier than that. And I think it's a global product, and I think seeing people from all around the world is really cool. And I hope to see WWE just get better over time and be conscious of it, because I know, like, with this coming out, they're going to be more sensitive to issues along the lines of gender. But I've seen, like, the women's revolution in the last 5 years, so I'm hoping that it could carry over into, like, all aspects of wrestling. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate the call.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate it. Okay. So what we'll do, we got a couple hours here. I want to read a couple emails. I'll save a couple for the flagship tomorrow with Jason Powell, including the longer ones. Kevin from Colorado was on hold, Nate, and he had to go, but he did email. And I want to read what he said here.
Sure.
So he says, here's my thing about Cody and The Rock. WWE has garnered a bunch of goodwill with me, and I'm willing to let this story play out. I have a feeling we'll still get Roman and Cody at Mania. Interesting. Like a bunch of callers said, this brings in eyes from the mainstream. People are mad short-term, but Triple H likes to tell long stories. So I'm going to reserve judgment until we see what happens. Thanks, guys. It makes me wonder if WWE gave people too much hope by not just going, you know, the formalities of Reigns and Rock will be signed and Cody and Seth. Because by not locking it in tonight, it could lead to some people thinking there's still hope. There's still hope, when maybe, like, I don't think there is. So we'll see. Ross from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, says, hi, Wade. Is it just me, or does it seem like Michael Cole is somewhat antagonizing the audience with some of his comments about Cody, The Rock, and Roman? He made a few comments throughout the evening, including about wanting to see Cody finish the story. It almost seems as if they're trying to add fuel to the fire. Something about this reminds me most recently of Kofi Mania. I just want to see if you or anyone else has noticed or got the same feeling, or if it was just me. Thanks for reading my email. I look forward to potentially hearing your reply. I'm still processing, Nate, trying to figure out, you know, why they took the approach they took tonight, and all the different things that might have motivated or inspired it. Again, I think they just want a lot of eyeballs on Thursday, and I think that's, you know, the primary driving force. But they have to be careful. They don't seem like they're enjoying the pain that many wrestling fans are feeling and expressing right now. Like, hey, isn't this controversy fun? They have to be careful about that and not come across as if they're just enjoying that fans are upset with the decision they made that they have no power over.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting spot to be in, because like they've got two compelling stories to tell between between Roman Reigns and The Rock, and Roman Reigns and Cody. But you know, as we've kind of been saying throughout the course of the show, I mean, The Rock has the name value for the mainstream, so it kind of promoting it in that way, you know, whether it be this press conference or even the main event to WrestleMania, I think it makes business sense. I mean, I feel like the and granted, this I might wind up eating crow with this come Friday, depending on the crowd reaction for The Rock at SmackDown. But yeah, I feel like it's probably a small vocal minority, maybe bigger than normal when it comes to, you know, wrestling fans getting upset about things. But I really do. I think at the end of the day, people are still going to, you know, be there for this match, no matter what. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm completely wrong, and you know, they'll wind up turning on The Rock, and you know, The Rock will wind up needing to do what he did, you know, during Rock Hogan, and kind of switch mid match or something like that. Yeah, this is certainly an interesting conversation. Anyway,
I will read Zach in Texas, and then we'll hit a couple other points from Raw, because it's been almost a one-topic show.
Yeah.
But we'll keep it brief because it is late. Zach, and I'll cover a lot more, Jason, tomorrow on the flagship. So if anyone has email questions or pushback or topics from Raw tonight we didn't get to, we'll have time tomorrow. Zach in Texas said, WWE feels like WWE again. It's just head-scratching decision after head-scratching decision. The entire WrestleMania title picture is a giant mess. Based on the report that came out today from Dave Meltzer, Rock versus Reigns was in place January 3rd, but maybe Triple H found out the day of the Rumble. I will interrupt his email and say Hunter was in the loop on this all along. He didn't find out, just on the Rumble. So I didn't see the context in which Dave said that, but I'm told and I trust that Levesque knew as this was going on. And basically, everybody knew it was a possibility, but the idea of it being a final decision, it being revealed as a final decision to everybody did come close to the Rumble, but to say anyone was blindsided by this, especially Paul Levesque, would not be a fair framing of it. But yeah, Rock Reigns was in place in Rock's mind and Ari Emanuel's mind, you know, in late December, and really became final in early January. But there was still time for it to change. So, you know, the idea that it was in place didn't mean they might not have changed their mind. Anyway, back to Zach. Still, why didn't The Rock just win the Rumble and we could have avoided all of this? Now Rock is getting Rocky Sucks chance and Cody is in a no-win situation. He basically prostrated himself to Rock on SmackDown, voluntarily giving up a title shot he earned in a way that totally emasculated him. Drew told him to finish the story, but how is he supposed to do that? Go to The Rock and ask for his balls back? Challenge him to a match at Elimination Chamber that Cody is almost sure to lose, thus further damaging him? They should have made Cody versus Seth official and just focused on building that instead of keeping up the guessing game. Sure, Cody's really over now as a martyr, but what happens if Rock beats Reigns like he wants to? So much for the story ever getting finished. Also, check Cody's tweet. It reads like a guy who's telling us to save our energy. This is such a debacle. Some more feedback there. Yeah, I mean, this has not been handled well. But I want to see what they do Thursday and what they do the next couple of weeks before coming down too forcefully on it. Cause I don't think we're going to look back and go, they handled it well, but I don't know the degree to which they screwed this up and how they've handled it until I kind of see a couple more chapters. And so I want to give it a couple more weeks before I say that. But I mean, obviously Cody going, you know, I won the Rumble, but I'm not going to take the match, and leaving the ring and leaving Rock to have stare down with Reigns. I think the visuals of that is part of what sparked a lot of the outrage, Nate. I'm not sitting here coming up with an obviously better solution to a problem that isn't going to placate. There's no way to do this. It's going to placate everybody. You know, you do an injury angle with Cody where it's like, he has to give it up cause he's injured. I mean, I guess, but then what, do you not have him on Mania? Or if Drew's the guy who attacks him, do you have Cody go, I need to take out Drew first? I mean, they could have done a wrestling angle to try to explain it better. But anyway, Nate, over to you.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely questionable booking. I mean, you know, why have Cody win the Rumble if this was going to be the kind of corner you back yourself into? So there's a couple things. So it's like, I'm kind of torn because there's part of me that's like, why the heck did you do that? But there's also part of me that's like, well, if they did that, they've probably got a plan. I just don't know how good the plan is, but they probably got a plan. Yeah, you know, it's definitely interesting. I mean, you know, one of the things that you know, keeps coming up tonight is, you know, The Rock potentially just winning the Rumble, you know, entering at number 30 and, excuse me, we've gotten some feedback for it and against it. And I mean, in a way, I almost feel like that might have been the better way to go. But at the same time, I could also see fans completely rejecting that too. I feel like this, to build this match right now, especially with how on fire Cody is, they needed to tread very carefully. And unfortunately they didn't, you know, but like we said earlier, I think it's just kind of a thing with timing. You know, The Rock is free right now, happens to be WrestleMania season. He's able to, you know, do this story with his cousin that's been building for years at this point. So it's just kind of an unfortunate coincidence that, you know, we've got these two really great, compelling stories kind of happening at the same time.
Okay. Quick, Nate, anything else from Raw that you want to briefly talk about so you can have your say, because I'll be able to have my say tomorrow.
Oh, man. Man, we've talked about Cody and The Rock so much. I don't even remember what the hell happened at the rest of the show. Just give me more R-Truth. We'll leave it at that.
Fair enough. We'll sign off there. I will just, if you want us to talk about other things tomorrow on the flagship, send in your questions Tuesday morning, early Tuesday afternoon. Jason Paul and I will cover them. The comment about Seth saying, oh, that's a pop. Oh, that's another pop, I thought was a nice comeback to Reigns. I'm enjoying this, but they have to be careful. They don't get people looking forward to a third match that fans aren't going to get at WrestleMania between those two. But it is, it's a fascinating, fascinating little moment that we're seeing.
There actually is one thing, and if I bring up real quick, and you know, I guess we could talk about it or not, but I'm actually really, really invested in this, the Bailey EO angle right now. You kind of saw it coming, but it's a really cool angle seeing Bailey kind of back in a babyface role for the first time in what, like 6-7 years here. Compelling story, and where. I know, at least for me, you know, Io's title run has not felt nearly as important as Rhea's title run. You know, kind of in a almost an opposite vein to Roman and Seth, considering that the titles they have and titles Io and Rhea have. And so it was, in a way, I thought it was an interesting decision that she did choose Io over Rhea because, again, the kind of prestige of the title right now, obviously Io's title has the lineage and all of that. But Bailey, like, you know, kind of passing up Rhea's title to kind of come back at the rest of Damage Control for, you know, talking behind her back and things like that. I loved the turn the other day, you know, when Bailey actually had a sentence in Japanese. I'm really looking forward to that match as well. And wanted to at least throw that out there because, you know, we hadn't talked about it. I feel like that's a big angle that a lot of people are glossing over right now, just to kind of, in lieu of everything else that's going on.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Nate. Good talking with you. What a show.
Yes.
Real good spirited discussions with callers, and people are feeling passionate about this. And yeah, I feel bad we didn't give more time to other things, but I will be doing my Wade Keller Hotline, reviewing the show start to finish. The VIP members get to hear my thoughts on everything on the show. I still will be doing that yet tonight. And I'll be talking with Jason tomorrow on the flagship, and of course talking with Rich Fan and Todd Martin about Raw also. So there'll be more things throughout the week for VIP members and on the flagship for everybody. Nate, thank you very much. And we will talk to you again soon.
Pleasure as always.